This is Great FM, a podcast series by Great HR, produced by Timber Media.
Hello and welcome to Great FM, everybody. Ahalya here, your host, keeping you company on this episode. And you know, we've recently come out of a pretty rough time in the year, at least I think so. I'm talking about appraisal season. Don't get me wrong. I know that this is the season where both professionals and leaders shine. You know, it brings so much excitement and eagerness. You can kind of feel it in the air at the workplace. But it is also a season where people sometimes have to contend with disappointment. Managers and leaders need to have difficult conversations. And sometimes it all goes wrong. In fact, I'd go so far as to say that the way a manager moves through an appraisal season is definitive of the kind of leader that they are. So how does HR figure in all of this? I mean, we're talking about human emotions and leadership. So HR, of course, has to play some kind of role, right? Do HR professionals contribute, or can they, to the compassion, communication, and employee growth within an organization during appraisal conversations? That's exactly what we're going to be looking at today, blending compassion with communication during those feedback sessions and how that can make or break employee engagement. Let me welcome Aisha Suleiman, who's going to be our guide through this very interesting conversation. She is the Director of Human Resources and Development at Ras Al Khaimah Economic Zone, where she leads the HR strategy, operations, and organizational development for the company. She's also been recognized among the 501 fabulous global HR leaders and has been named Women HR Leader of the Year by the IHRC 2022. Such a pleasure to have you here, Aisha. Thank you so much for being with us. And, you know, like I said before, a very exciting conversation that I'm thrilled to get your insights on.
Thank you so much for having me. And I'm really looking for a fruitful communication and discussion today.
Okay, so let's start off with the basics, Aisha. How do you view HR's role in handling performance reviews? And has that role sort of changed over the last few years or decade?
Definitely. Over the past few years, HR role has massively changed in the performance reviews specifically, and has been really evolved from being as a facilitator for the process to be more as a driver of continuous performance enablement. We have moved from the rigid top-down appraisals to be more agile, feedback-rich, and employee-centric models, with increased emphasis on real-time feedback, goal definitions, and the coaching approaches. HR now focuses on the empowering of the managers, training them, advising them, and also on the employees with the tools, data, and support to enable meaningful conversations throughout the year. So there is no surprises when it comes to the performance appraisal cycle. The integration of the analytics, the pulse surveys and check-ins and this quarter reviews allow us to spot the performance trends really early, address the issues proactively, and align overall performance management with the business agility. I think these kind of new approaches in the performance appraisal has really enhanced the understanding and the results of the performance review cycle and made it really very flexible and agile between the relationship of the manager and the employee.
I think that's an interesting shift that we've seen not only in this particular aspect of business operations, but HR's role in general has moved into a lot more of a strategic position, right? I do also want to introduce into the conversation now a little bit of the post-COVID world, right? I mean, the whole workspace dynamic has basically shifted. And I think appraisal conversations, they're hard enough as it is, but now a lot of these conversations have to happen virtually given people's, you know, hybrid workplaces or completely remote workplace. So how has this shift impacted, you know, those conversations? Do you think that they're easier to carry out right now, or is it the other way around?
I think the virtual appraisals conversations, they brought to both challenges and opportunities. On one hand, they reduced the scheduling barriers and allowed more focused one-to-one time without any interruptions once you are in these online sessions. However, the absence of the in-person interaction sometimes made it really harder to read the emotional responses or build the rapport and the sense of the conversation between the line manager and the employee. This made it really crucial for the HR to coach the manager on the empathetic communication and active listening in virtual settings. We also had to reframe the tone of this conversation from evaluation to be more of engagement, ensuring that the employees feel heard, supported, and agile, regardless of the format or the channel of the communication they are having. It was not an easy shift, and it really took more effort and time from the HR to make the people aware about this new shift. But with the time, it has progressed and it really became very effective, mixing both emotional and non-emotional tools into these conversations.
So that's a really interesting paradigm, right? So can you talk to us a little bit about the non-emotional tools that go into making an appraisal cycle successful?
So these are the setups which we have really needed to emphasize, that the importance of the carrying out the conversation in the virtual platform, it's very important to educate the managers how to deal with this channel, because previously the manager have only one-to-one in-person channel, or sometimes they will be sending emails if they are really far. So the emotional is absent once you are sending these kind of communication to these employees through these, I would say, the emails or the messages, or kind of, submitting that form in the appraisal system without the interaction, really. So the emotional part is absent in here. But in the one-to-one, sometimes in the meetings, there are a lot of interruptions happen. Sometimes if the manager is sitting, somebody comes in, needs some urgent work in between to be done. So also this interrupts the emotional connection during that option. So it was very important for the HR to highlight how to avoid these interruptions, how to really prepare that kind of session where you are only with the employee interacting, providing coaching, and giving them that atmosphere where they feel heard and trusted and they can exchange this information. So we focused on training them on how to handle these meetings in a virtual platform, when he needs to stop and interrupt the employees in the communication. In non-emotional part also, it is easier in the absence of the reading the body language during this system. It is very important that the manager use evidences to show that this is what happened and this is how I felt, or how this is how it was perceived. So using of the evidence-based performance review also helped to cover the non-emotional part in this kind of conversation. So I think it's more of opening the horizon of the managers to use something which is not available and open more evaluation methods for them to help them to carry out this conversation without any issues. And same goes with the employees, where they need to understand that there are many other things needs to be considered while doing the performance appraisal. And from there, and also they need to be ready with not only sharing their emotional and feeling, but also providing evidences, having a conversation which is more objective than being subjective. And all these elements really help us to shape this non-emotional part of the performance cycle.
You know, that is such an important point you bring to the table about identifying and recognizing evidence, Aisha. And I think let's take that a step further, because, you know, in today's day and age and in the market that we're currently having this conversation in, promotions and raises, they're not par for course anymore, right? So when it doesn't happen, when an employee or professional finds themselves in that position of, you know, needing to deal with that disappointment or a lack of that progression, how can HR professionals communicate effectively, or rather, as, you know, a different department within the company, what can they bring to the table apart from just money that employees may care about and actually stick with the organization for?
That is very tricky and also very hard task on the HR, especially that when monetary rewards are constrained. I believe HR really needs to strengthen the non-financial value proposition, which can focus on many different areas of the HR activities. Some of them would be, for example, the career development opportunities, like they can use the job rotations, special projects, and also stretched assignments for the employees to really make them away from their routine job and make them also feel they are doing something different. in the same period. Second part can also be focused on the learning and growth. And this can be through internal academics, mentorship, or supporting them in the certification support or also continuation of their education as well. One of the things that's really been very famous and it has been used by many companies now is the recognition program. And everyone is designing that, catering their own needs and culture. And it can be really more personalized, can be really peer-driven, or it can be public. And it can be also validate also the contribution of the employees and appreciate that through this recognition programs. One of the arrangements which has been really very successful, and I think people appreciate that a lot, which is the flexible work arrangements and the well-being initiatives that enhance the employee experience, which really, I think many of the people prefer to have that kind of arrangement available as an option in the workplace. Again, all these, if you are really trying to do that, even if it's communicating the monetary reward or non-monetary reward, the essential part of this is the transparent communication is the key. If the salary progression or the monetary rewards being paused for any reason in the organization, I think HR must proactively share the why and what next to retain the trust and engagement of the employees.
Yeah, no, that communication post is so important. And I think HR definitely plays a very big role there in that stage. So talk to me a little bit more about that, Aisha. You know, has the definition of a good appraisal in and of itself completely changed? Like, does HR's approach to appraisal season need to shift at this point?
I think yes, because a good appraisal now really emphasizes on, for example, on clarity, fairness. It gives you kind of growth opportunities because it's becoming more of a discussion between the line manager and employee in different aspects than the performance while they are having these discussions in the performance, especially post-COVID, the psychological safety and really moving beyond just rating to holistic performance and potential development opportunities. So I think with also implementing different techniques in the performance by applying the competencies, either it is technical or behavior competencies while discussion, it really makes the horizon really wider for the employee to express and as well as the manager to give different direction for development for the employee. So yes, it is really having a different, or it has been changed than the previous story type discussion on the performance.
You know, I find that so fascinating simply because I think it introduces different priorities in the workplace, Aisha, and it also recognizes that there is more to work than just coming into the office, logging in your hours, earning your money and leaving for the day, right? I think it really reframes what it means to value a professional in the workplace. And extending that into a new tangent, you know, mental health has obviously gained quite the recognition that it rightfully deserves. Keeping employees' mental well-being in mind, how can HR professionals help managers provide tough feedback without crushing the employee spirit? Is it important for HR professionals and, you know, the managers of different teams to have a little chat and conversation prior to the performance review meeting starting?
So see, the period which is before the performance appraisal, I think that is the very rich and good period for the HR, providing different trainings to the managers in different aspects like in empathetic communication, teaching them different coaching techniques and focusing, for example, on behaviors and outcomes, not the personality, while also reinforcing during this discussion a growth mindset. So I think it's a good opportunity for learning. And having these kind of discussions with the HR or training sessions in order to make these conversations really effective with the employees.
I think it's absolutely vital, like you just pointed out. And it's important to get everyone on the same page, right? Because so much of these performance reviews, I think, is also about aligning an employee's aspirations with the business's goals and vision, right, for the future. Now, when a certain number of employees haven't had the best appraisal cycle, I want to take it back to what you mentioned before. Are there any tangible initiatives or programs or maybe frameworks that you would suggest HR professionals put in place? If you could give us the specifics on that.
So I think it's a very great opportunity, again, for the HR. And here where you can see that the HR can turn this performance management into a development experience, not really focusing on the negative part of the cycle, but also showing that there is a positive part. And what we are doing as an HR is for the development and continuation of this employment with this employee. There are a couple of initiatives really can be used by the HR in coordination with the line manager. First off, and very important part of it is the individual development plans. And it is really co-created with the employee and the manager with measurable milestones and with the understanding that this initiative is not used to fail the employee, but rather bringing his focus to the important task and milestone he or she needs to deliver to continue working with the organization. So the main purpose of these IDPs should be development and continuation rather than showing it as a paper or as evidences to release the employee. Coaching or mentoring programs can be also effective for the cases which the individual development plans does not apply, and that specific coaching and mentoring programs offers guidance beyond the appraisal cycles and gives them that kind of insight of what else they can do to improve their performance in the organization. One of the things also can be a really good initiative, which is the more of skill building roadmaps, which are aligned with the future roles of strategic priorities. And here where you really drive the focus of the employee on what is next for them. So it's not only that, for example, the performance appraisal is good, there is no monetary rewards going on in the organization, but what else I can do to really feel that I have been recognized and I'm doing something different. So here where you take the focus of the employees in skill building and making them ready for future roles in the organization. Career pathing and frameworks that also help the employees to see beyond a single cycle and stay committed to long-term growth in the organization. I would say most importantly that the HR should ensure that the employee feel their contribution is still valued and they have the structured path to improve and succeed in the organization.
No, absolutely. You know, I think there's so much merit in it being a 360 degree approach when it comes to even a particular process like appraisals, right? You know, it actually reminds me of the great to great approach that we're encouraging companies to take here at Great HR, where by implementing holistic solutions, you can kind of elevate every aspect of your business, right? So a lot of merit in that. And there's also a recurring dialogue happening these days, Aisha, about focusing on the skills that a person possesses rather than their personality. During review sessions, the importance of certain personality changes because, hey, but my skills are delivering on every metric. So what do you think about this shift? Is one more important than the other? And is it right for this dialogue to be taking place? I'm really interested in knowing your thoughts there.
I think the skills are the foundation of the performance and it should be a primary focus, definitely. But the attitude and behavior matters too. Especially for the teamwork and the leadership potential, especially once it comes to the growth and taking additional responsibilities and managing team. So I believe both should be considered at the same time. And as I mentioned previously, that now the new concepts of the performance management, also the introduction of the competency framework in the organization where you drive certain behavior to be run by the employees or driving certain culture the organization would like to have every employee to have it. That is also helping in equalizing these skills versus the personality in the work job.
Yeah, equalizing. I think that was a great word to introduce there in terms of an approach. And very quickly, we've arrived at the end of the conversation, Aisha, but I guess I want to leave the floor open to you to give all of the HR professionals out there listening to this episode, what is your one message to them on their role in the appraisal season, not just as a collective fraternity, but rather as individual professionals who have the chance to make the workplace a compassionate, inclusive and, you know, happy place to be in a season that is quite nerve-wracking for many people?
I think I would advise them to be fair, to be human and be forward-looking, because appraisals aren't only about what happened last year and what was my performance, but they are about unlocking future potential and building trust. So I think it needs to really be looked in a different way and take a positive part of it for future changes.
You know, that last bit really made me smile, Aisha, because it really is about looking into the future and investing that little extra something in your professionals and employees. And I think at the end of the day, it all comes down to building trust, right? And appraisal season is actually a great opportunity to build that trust. And I've seen it happen so many times between HR professionals and employees where that trust gets built and it's very rewarding for the company and for all of the stakeholders.
Absolutely, yeah.
True. Yeah. Thank you so very much for joining us. It's been such a pleasure to have a voice as yours on the podcast today. It means a lot to have your insights and actionable tips.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Well, I think there's a wealth of information to take from today's episode to whoever is listening, whether you're an HR professional or a professional yourself. You know, this can act as a little bit of a guide to make appraisal season easier for you and hopefully reflect on the months that have gone by and see where you stand. Thank you for tuning in. We'll be back with another episode very soon. But for now, that's a wrap on this episode of Great FM. Adios.
This is Great FM, a podcast series by Great HR. Produced by Timber Media.